Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the statement by C.S. Lewis, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither." Listen as we discuss what Herb Fitch may mean by "the inner and the outer become one when divine truth is your only consciousness." In this show, we will explain what it looks like when we no longer believe in two worlds with two powers and understand what is meant by "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Swami, I see the title of today's show is "Aim for Heaven, Earth Comes with It." Let's talk about that title for a bit.
Yeah, that was just my way of paraphrasing what C.S. Lewis had said. Aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. What we have been working with here is the statement, consciousness is experience. What we are conscious of is what we are experiencing. And so on an experiential level, you take a good look around and become aware of your consciousness. And if you don't like what you see, don't react to the appearance. Instead, realize what you're looking at is your thought about what is really here. And then if you can, shift your awareness to the divine creation, because that is what aiming for heaven really is. To point your awareness on what is invisible and intangible to your material senses is what C.S. Lewis is talking about when he says, aim for heaven. Turn away from the testimony of your five material senses. Because if you aim for earth, which means that you fall for the information coming through your material senses, you're in the trap. You're in the cycle of death and rebirth. And this is also what the Bible called sin. You're missing the mark. And to be conscious of this divine creation is critical if we want to activate it in our experiences. Spirit isn't just something that we believe in, but it is a demonstrable principle. But we must be conscious of it in order to activate it in experience.
So you said if you don't like what you see, then don't react to the appearance. Instead, realize what you're looking at is your thought about what is really here. Then shift your awareness to the divine creation. So what does that look like when we do it, and how do we do it?
Yeah, how we think is what we become. But if we continue to react to the testimony of our senses, if we continue to try and fix things on a sense level of awareness, we find what C.S. Lewis said, we get neither, because we're falling for the trap of trying to figure out how the unreal became real. Spirit or heaven is the only self-existent power in the universe. Everything else requires belief for its sense of existence. But without our belief of it, it loses the life that it doesn't have. Now, as you're educating your thought up to this spiritual apprehension, you start to understand what is appearing in your material senses isn't real. The Bible tells us to repent, and what that means is think differently. If we continue to react to the testimony of our material senses, we're in this thought loop. So we stop thinking, and you make your mind aware for spirit, for the divine creation, which is right here, it's right now, but it doesn't report in our material senses. We're looking for what is invisible and intangible to material sense. And then we watch, we sit, and we wait for spiritual light. Because as long as we are operating our material senses, our spiritual senses are dormant. The minute we stop thinking and activating our material senses, then we can awaken our spiritual senses. And our spiritual senses are under the jurisdiction of spiritual law. They are self-existent power. Spirit doesn't need anything.
So, Swami, once we shift our awareness and we're doing this watching and we're waiting, what's kind of like the next step from there?
The next octave of this is what was referred to as faith. Because we understand that spirit is a demonstrable principle. Consciousness is experience. That if I'm conscious of the divine creation, then I must have divine qualities in my experience. Because it's very easy to think you're conscious of the divine creation, and then you continue to have the same challenges and problems appearing in your experiences. Isn't that what they tell us insanity is? Doing the same thing, expecting a different return. And I love what Herb Fitch said in the La Jolla series. This was in class 9B. Divine being never violates divine truth. You cannot be divine being and sick, divine being and exhausted, divine being and feeling pain, lack, limitation. You cannot be divine being and accept evil or error, but you are divine being, and therefore sickness, exhaustion, pain, lack, limitation are all quickly seen as belonging to the human concept you once maintained about yourself. And that's the thing I really like about divine science is you're working with a principle and a law. You prove the presence of divine awareness, spiritual awareness, by demonstrating it in your experiences. So if I am conscious of the divine creation, I must bring forth these divine qualities. So you look for the fruits of the spirit.
Swami, could you review what the fruits mean?
Yeah, the fruits of the Spirit in the Bible are peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. The message of the Christ is heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. And all of this comes to fruition as we start to shift our identity, graduate from the belief in matter, the belief in the many, into this understanding of spiritual identity.
So, Swami, could we talk more about this aiming for heaven and what it might mean?
Yeah, aim for heaven may be understood to mean sow to the spirit, or as Herb Fitch says, become conscious of divine truth only. Mary Baker Eddy also wrote something similar in a work she called The Body. I'll read this. All that we need to do, and it may keep us busy, is to train our thought faithfully and persistently in the acknowledgement of the truth of God's presence. Train it to judge righteous judgment, to see God and God only, to think God and God only. End of quote. As we start to drill down with the wisdom of Scripture and all of this brilliant writing, we start to see that there really isn't much power in the words. You can memorize this, parrot it back, and you can recite it, but you don't get what Scripture is promising. primarily because we're aiming for heaven with a mind that can't bring forth the divine image. So we really have to think differently. Graduate from thinking with our five material senses to eventually understanding life from the perspective of spiritual understanding.
So, Swami, we said that we would talk about and explain what it looks like when we no longer believe in two worlds with two powers and really need to understand what is meant by hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Can we start by hallowed be thy name?
Yeah, I like what James says in the Bible, James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And he also says something similar in chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. End of quote. Yeah, the idea of living between two worlds. We have the inner world of spirit, and we have the outer world of sense. And this outer world of sense is pretty complicated because it is a combination of the mind-body complex. In yoga, we explain that with Ida and Pingala Nadi, the pulse of the universe, ascending and descending prana, which becomes the veil that prevents us from seeing the truth. Because the false sense is a mental image. It's a thought about what's really here. And that's why C.S. Lewis said, aim for heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim for earth, you get neither. Because there really is no earth. Earth is not a real thing because the only self-existent power is spirit. But because we believe in matter, and we believe in a personal, individual mind, we're in this trap, the cycle of death and rebirth, and the idea of two powers, good and bad, light and dark, the polar opposites that drive the false sense of existence. And it's all driven by belief and completely unconscious to the divine creation, the truth of being. And so now we step into the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, which translates for me, holy be your likeness, which I'll further break down into spiritual awareness. Spirit is one, and spirit is infinite. And the reason they call it hallowed or holy is because it is whole, it's complete, it's everywhere. In everything. And the idea of oneness must be fully understood. One means one, not me and one, or two. Jesus explained this when he said, I and the Father are one. For us to understand the Lord's Prayer, we must assume spiritual identity. It's not a way of humans asking the divine for assistance in their experiences. Prayer here means communion with the divine, to pray, not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, on the divine. And so we must know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator, which is spiritual.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs.
Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, you did mention earlier when we were talking about hallowed be thy name, you were talking about Jesus explains that I and the Father are one. And wondering maybe we could just talk a little bit more about this idea of oneness.
Yeah, the idea of only one divine life, one perfect divine life. And yet we look out and we see many persons, places, things. And I really like the way Mary Baker Eddy was able to explain that. She talked, man was God's reflection. What she meant by the word reflection, mind considering its own content. Or the way C.S. Lewis would say, he never thought it possible to have a personal relationship with God. In the same way, he never thought Hamlet could know Shakespeare. Where does this oneness take place? But it takes place in divine mind, the infinite mind. And Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. So house meaning consciousness, in divine consciousness, there are many ideas. So basically, we are a thought in the divine mind. And everything is going to be contingent upon your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness, until that spiritual light dawns on us. At that point where I am conscious of divine mind knowing itself as me. And in that realization, there is no duality. You're out of the belief in the many, and you have now the understanding of the one perfect divine life.
So you said there's no duality, but there is a way to live in this life and be one with the divine, right?
Yeah, and I think Herb Fitch was the one that kind of gave that to us when he said the inner and the outer become one when divine truth is your only consciousness. With the realization of spirit, the one perfect life dissolves anything unlike itself. In this oneness, there's no opposition, there's no conflict, there's no lack or limitation. Life is perfect, whole, complete, fulfilled.
So continuing with the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, how should we be looking at that particular phrase? What can we learn from that?
Yeah, we're learning thy kingdom isn't this world, because thy kingdom is spirit, bringing us back to one. And this world is a mental image, which is two-ness, duality. And so there seems to be requirements in order to access spirit. Here we must know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator, which is spirit. And the physics of spirituality, like attracts like, and spirit translates everything back to itself. I like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 15. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. Spiritual identity is not just an academic accomplishment. It's not something that you declare that I'm spiritual. What we're saying, there's physics involved here. And the shape, the composition of your physical body, how the segments of your body line up, the range of motion at your articulations. Because how we think is what we become. Your body is a diagram of what you are conscious of. In fact, we talk about this a lot in class. Martha Wilcox, who was a student of Mary Baker Eddy's, had a wonderful lesson from her where she learned that she had to be faithful and orderly with the objects of sense in order to be receptive to the deeper teachings of the divine creation. And so a lot of the things that we employ in Kriya Yoga with purification, physically, mentally, conceptually, purifying our thought, educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. As identity shifts from material to mental to spiritual, the activity of spirit dissolves the false sense testimony in the same way that light dispels darkness. Darkness is not an opposing power to light. It's the absence of light. Matter and mind is not an opposing force to spirit. It is the absence of spirit. And so as this spiritual light reveals itself to us, more and more, thought loses the influence from the material senses and becomes governed by spiritual awareness, the divine creative principle. But in this process, we must accept spiritual identity and then live under the influence of the infinite spiritual body, and then prove that to be true.
And then so this proving, what does that look like?
Well, I would say that was what we would call healing. Healing the sick, reforming sinner, raising the dead. It's living under grace, being able to put off personal will, personal sense, and let divine mind express itself through you as you.
So, Swami, why is it difficult for us to do that?
Well, I think a lot of it is, in yoga we call it avidya. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We think we know divine truth. We think we're conscious of divine truth, but we're still working with the human mental concept about it. Like Herbstich said in the La Jolla series, the inner and the outer become one when divine truth is your only consciousness. And then he also goes on and he gives us more reasons why it's so difficult. I'll read some of it. Here it is. Now, of course, there's going to be a million and one mental tricks played upon you by the world mind to suck you back into that human body. The world mind works full time, too. 24 hours of every day, it presents a world of matter and human flesh. It even creates a human you. It projects images through the mind into time and into space. It tempts you to react. It moves the images. It draws you into emotional contact with the images. It flashes images that you fear and images that you desire. Other images that please or displease you. More images than you want to possess. Others you want to discard. And it gives names to the images, and it entices your senses with the need for certain images. By the time you're 6 years old, you're so conditioned that you usually spend the remainder of your life in a world of images that you think are real, because mother and father thought they were real, because friends think they are real, religion, science, respected leaders of mankind think these images are real. And finally, the image of you can no longer sustain its imagined universe. The same world mind that sent you forth as an image called baby suddenly puts a pin in your image and you vanish into history. End of quote. Yeah, you start drilling down with this, it's not hard to see why we're not demonstrating divine law with scientific certainty. When you realize just how far you have to go with this in order to be able to prove the presence of divine creation.
So, Swami, if we continue on with the Lord's Prayer, let's talk about thy will be done, thy will or my will.
Yeah, and how many of us think we're doing the will of God? We think we're doing God's work. We're doing such wonderful work, and yet we're completely unconscious to the divine creation. The only one who knows thy will is Christ. There can't be Christ and me. And so in order to know the will of the Father, you must be in spiritual identity. And like we said, spirit will dissolve that false sense of who we think we are. And in spiritual selfhood, you are conscious of the divine will. But there's no me, there's no mortal sense of self in divine will.
Well, let's bring in the rest of that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, or as it's written in Science and Health, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And again, I think we're talking here, aim for heaven and earth comes with it, because in the will of the divine creator, there is only spiritual light, only one perfect divine life. In truth, there is no earth, only spirit is. Because when thought is freed from the influence of material senses, there's only pure consciousness. We can have what the Bible calls the single eye and be double-minded. We can't be spiritual and material. You can't be mortal and immortal. Or I really like what Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health, and I'll try and paraphrase it. You render the divine law of healing void and obscure when you weigh the human in the same scale as the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God. End of quote. Yeah, for me, divine science is a very exact science. And coming back to what it says in Genesis, one bite of an apple from one of these trees, and you're banished from Eden. And we can use what is appearing in our consciousness to give us clues. Am I conscious of the divine creation? Even when you're doing physical postures, how do you know where the arch of your foot should be? But if you build a posture with the integrity of the posture, if your foot placement is correct, and you have your big toes touching, you're on the center of each heel. You adjust your feet so that your heels are as close together as you can get them without the ankles touching. And then the segments of the leg will begin to bow out. The arch of the foot will start to come up. And these are all things that you start to learn to work with, because consciousness is experience. But we really don't try and fix it from the physical perspective. The physical body is a mental image, but the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and perfect it will begin to appear.
So I like what you said earlier, that thought needs to be freed from the influence of this material sense in order for us to get anywhere.
Yeah, I really like what Gilbert Carpenter wrote in 500 Watching Points, and I'll read it. Is it not error to cherish the notion that the ability to comprehend the deep things of God is a developed quality attained through study and application alone? True, such study and application are needed in order to know what it is that prevents students from expressing and voicing the mind that was in Christ Jesus, a thing divinely and scientifically natural, to one whose thought is freed from the influence of mortal mind. The student's higher task is to empty his thought so that the deep things of God may flow in. End of quote. Yeah, so we stop thinking and we start knowing, making your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. And in silence and in stillness, you let divine mind take over the scientific government of your body.
Well, we are going to start breaking down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fanning Banner Blog Talk Radio. If you click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then don't forget, by clicking on the products tab, the online classes, that directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Especially even that Wednesday class, it's at noon, and it's a free open chat. I encourage everybody to hop on to that. With that, Swami, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.